Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Get it. The Bert Show.
All right, I've got the first superficial question of the morning to ask you guys. Because last night we're at Twist and we're doing the CD release party. And I am talking to somebody at the release party. I'm not going to tell you guys who it is. But she says that she thought that she had met Mr. Right. This sort of goes along with the whole women's intuition thing. Mm-hmm. Where she dated a guy 2 or 3 times and they never kissed after the date. This has gone on for like a couple of weeks. They went on 3 dates and he just said, I'm a gentleman. I generally don't kiss on the 1st or 2nd date, but when I know it's real, then I feel like getting a little more intimate. But at this point, let's not kiss. He said those words or something like that on the first couple of dates. So she is completely enamored with this guy. They have the same likes. The chemistry seems really good. All arrows seem to be pointing to this is going to work out pretty well. So, like, date number 3 or date number 4, he's feeling comfortable enough with her that at the end of the date, he makes the approach for the kiss and kisses her and is an awful, awful kisser. Terrible. She said it was just the most, I forget the words she used, but I think gross was in there, wet was in there. Yeah, it was really sloppy was in there, and it was just really uncomfortable. I mean, it was really uncomfortable. Mm. So she asks me last night, does that mean that he can't get any better at kissing? And is that an indication of him being really bad in other areas also? Mm. Because the way she was leaning last night was she was ready to break up with this guy because every guy that she had kissed before him that was a bad kisser was bad in other areas. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the question I'm asking you guys, is it justified to break up with a guy or a woman based on a kiss? That is so bad that you can't go on with the relationship. 404-741-1005.
Jen. I just think that it depends on how much she likes this guy and how much room she wants to give him to improve. Because after the first kiss, maybe it was an awkward moment. Maybe he could improve over the next couple of weeks. But I think if you've got several weeks of bad kisses, you kind of got to move on. Because, yeah, I remember this happening one time when I was in college. I felt devoured by someone, like instead of kissing me, I think he ate my head.
Oh, God. Just my shoulders were showing.
Yeah. Like that Subway commercial?
Exactly like the Subway commercial. I felt swallowed whole and thought, you know what, this is not really so good. And then, gave it about a week and then it was like, okay, no, it was way too forceful and down your throat. It was like, ugh.
Couldn't get past it.
No.
Because she said in other areas, like, great job, seemed like a sensitive guy. The areas that she normally looks at for red flags were all white flags. Like, he's got a great relationship with his parents. Financially, he's doing fine. But the kiss was so bad and so atrocious that she can't get over it and wants to break up with the guy based on one kiss.
I know in the past I've said about when it comes to, you know, intimate relations that you can improve on that. But you're at that point of having intimacy and having communication. Kisses, on the other hand, it's difficult to, because you're assuming over the next few weeks he's going to improve on his own, because you're not really at the point that you can tell him he's a bad kisser. Mm-hmm. If you've only been out a couple times. But that would totally turn me off. And I do think that's an indication of his performance the rest of the way.
You do?
I do. And it would be only two or three or four dates into it. It would be hard for me to continue if the person was that bad of a kisser, if it turned me off.
Okay. Good morning, Jennifer. You're on the Burt Show. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Great. Thank you.
Great. Well, I was just going to say that when me and my boyfriend first started dating, that he was a horrible kisser. Like, I almost broke up with him over it and stopped seeing him. But he was just such a great guy in so many other areas that I ended up, okay, you know, let me give it a chance. And it finally, things just got better, and we're still together 5 months later. So,
how did things get better? Like, did you say something to him?
Well, I had thought about it. I even approached a couple of friends who I was like, man, he just stinks at kissing, and, you know, I don't want to get too far into it, and, you know, it'd be worse. And finally, I just kind of started taking control over the kissing situation, and as far as, like, when we were kissing, trying to show him in a sense, but not mm-hmm. insult him, of mm-hmm. course, but, you know. And eventually it got better. And then as we got comfortable, I was like, ooh, you know, I like it this way over this way. And it's gotten better. And
was he a slobberer?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you ever, I'm not exactly sure how to phrase this, but without it sounding really nasty this early in the morning, but have you ever had somebody like, God, they just tense up so much that, their tongue is so hard and forced down your mouth that you just feel like you're totally being abducted?
Yes.
The choker.
Yes. It feels like Gene Simmons has got his tongue down your throat.
Yeah.
It's hard to get over that.
For some reason, remember when your friend Aaron came on with us and was dating the A-list celebrity, mm-hmm. and then we told everybody it was Owen Wilson? For some reason, I imagine him to be the crazy tongue guy.
The bad kissing guy?
Yeah, the bad kissing guy for some reason.
That's only because I told you the story off the air that I couldn't tell on the air about Owen Wilson.
Maybe.
Oh, no. Curiosity is sparked up.
That will totally change your opinion of that guy. Good morning, Jonathan. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Yes, I broke up with a girl because she was a terrible kisser.
I'm always curious about details, like
what makes a bad kiss?
Yeah, why was she a bad kisser?
Okay, well, it started out where, you know, we were just kind of having a phone conversation, and, you know, of course, you know, you'd lead up into meeting that person, and when we first met, we went out on the first date, and that night I kissed her, and it was like she had hawked up a lot of spit and rolled into my mouth.
Gross.
Particularly after that, it didn't matter how great her personality was, just the idea of kissing this person kind of made me do the dry heave thing.
I mean, because when people say, well, they're a great person, they have a great job, they have a great personality, well, then, I mean, to me, attraction is so important that if I'm so turned off by them, then they become a friend. They're my friend with a great job and a friend with a great personality. But if there is no, if I am totally physically turned off, I cannot continue.
I remember the very first time I tried the whole French kiss thing. It was a game of spin the bottle, and there were a whole bunch of friends around and stuff. And I knew what the concept of it was, but I had never put it in practice before. And I just remember opening up my mouth so wide, like you could have put a 7-pound bag of cement in my mouth.
Everybody's done that. I did that too.
And like everybody looking at me was like, Jaws, put that thing away, dude. I was like, you know, watching Charlie Brown when they yell, you can only see the uvula just dangling in the back. Good morning, Mercedes. You're on the Burt Show.
Hi, yes, I did break up with someone over a kiss. He was a rough kisser. And, it wasn't even over a kiss. I put that to the side. I'm like, okay, maybe this is just a guy who just doesn't know how to kiss. And it eventually led up to something else. And I swear, you know, we're on the radio, so I'm going to make it really PG. Mm-hmm. He almost gave me a hysterectomy. It was horrible.
Well said.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
Now, have you ever watched somebody in a film and thought like a celebrity is a bad kisser on screen and thought differently of them because because I have an example.
Yeah. When we all watched Garden State together, those kisses between Zach Braff and Natalie Portman looked really, really bad.
I think Jude Law looks like he's a bad kisser. Only reason I say that is there's this new movie out that that's coming out with him and Julia Roberts, and I believe Natalie Portman's in that one as well.
I've seen this.
And is he kissing Julia Roberts in that commercial? And he grabs the crown of her head. Like I don't know. It's just
didn't grab her
odd,
by like the cheek.
Not delicately in the cheek or the nape of her neck or anything cool like that. I mean, like the crown of her head. I don't know. You just got to watch this film. He looks like a very bad kisser, unfortunately. I think differently.
He looks like Lizard Man, like with really dry, like really dry lips that like don't really move a whole lot. They just stare right there.
Hey, Cheryl, good morning. You're on The Burt Show on all the hits Q100.
Lizard Man.
Yeah, I used to date this guy in college. And he was really, you know, great in other areas and stuff. But whenever he kissed me, we would start kissing, and then he would start licking me all over my face.
No.
Oh, who does that? Are you still
licking you?
That was too much. He had to go.
Like licking you on the cheeks and the eyes and stuff?
The cheeks. I mean, he would just take his tongue and just run it all over my face.
Dude, what is that?
And it was so nasty. I couldn't take it.
What the hell is that?
Like an overeager poodle.
I'm not a lollipop. Don't lick my face.
I couldn't even stand when my mom used to lick her finger, her thumb, and I put that on my face.
No.
Nasty. So I guess if you're dating a bad kisser, it's over. Bye-bye. Move on. Just move on. That's a lot of pressure, man.
Get it? The Burt Show.
It's The Burt Show on all the hits, Q100, with Ellen DeGeneres, comes on 5 o'clock on CBS 46.
You know, hey, Ellen, it's Melissa, and I, here in Atlanta, I am an out lesbian on this radio station, and I want to say thank you for coming out on that show, because your show actually was what my family watched in order to learn how to accept me, because about that time I was coming out. So I do want to say thank you for that, but I'm also curious how much of an effort did it take, or was it a struggle to get the network to allow you to change the course of the storyline?
You mean once I came out, or just making that decision?
Well, I guess both.
Coming out was it was kind of tough, because they didn't know what was going to happen with that, and it was a huge decision. But I kept making everyone. I mean, because I knew I was coming out, and I thought if I'm coming out, the character should come out, because it's ridiculous. The character's kind of close to who I am, and it made sense, because she never dated on the show, and it was never going to be about dating. I didn't really think it through. I didn't think, okay, where do we go after this? But I just thought, I'm the one taking the bigger chance here. You know, you can cancel me and have your company worth, $1 billion, and you can put somebody else on the air, but I may lose my career. Although I didn't think I would. I thought it was not going to be a big deal, and I was wrong. But it was, it was hard to say, listen, I can't just ignore this now. The character doesn't just come out and go back to her life. We've got to somehow, it's not a funny thing at all. For most people, it's a really tough thing, but let's try to make it funny. Let's try to make it awkward and make this an interesting show that no one's seen before, the process of changing your world. But I was really proud of that last year, and I think when people look back on it, they will realize that it was a good year. It just didn't do well.
Hey, Ellen, this is Jen, and my question is kind of in how you handled that situation in comparison to real life. You were saying, like, the show was very serious and it was a very big deal, but you try to deal with it with humor. Is that kind of the same way in your everyday life? Are you dealing with, difficult situations by making everybody laugh?
Well, I think that's, my life is really good right now. So, if I have anything to complain about, I try to shake myself or slap myself and say, life is really, really good for me. So I don't ever really feel sorry for myself or complain. And I think it's really important to me this is what I've always done. I'm a comedian, and what I love about this show is that people watch the show and they feel good. Every single person that comes up to me says that the show just makes them happy. And if I can do that for an hour, which is what I used to do with stand-up, and that for an hour you're forgetting whatever's going on in your life or in the world, which is a pretty scary place right now. And I like making people feel good. So yeah, I think it's an important way for it's how I try to. I'm sometimes better at getting other people to do it than myself, but that's how most of us are, I think.
Talking to Ellen DeGeneres. Her show is on at 5 o'clock on CBS 46 here in Atlanta. We're going to talk to her about some of her guests coming up here in a couple minutes also.
Yeah, and I'm curious when, at the end of Ellen and then into Dory and Finding Nemo. I mean, everybody still knows you're the same Ellen as you always were. Do you think you're more accepted now than you were, 10 years ago or 5 years ago?
Well, yeah, I think definitely now, because there was just a short time where people didn't know if I was going to change or be the same person. And it took a while for me to convince people that I am the same person. And, I'm exactly the same person. I think I'm smarter and stronger, and I can look back on some things that I did and go, oh, that may not have been a smart move. But, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody learns something. And I definitely think I'm more accepted now, just because I've grown a lot and I've learned a lot. And also the focus isn't on that anymore. The focus is that's just a part of who I am. It's not, you know, I'm back to just being able to be myself and be funny and be a comedian and make people feel good. And it's just kind of accepted as who I am.
You know, Melissa brought up Finding Nemo, and I'm just curious because I have a 2-year-old now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you and I were at the bank together and he heard you talk, he obviously wouldn't know that you were Ellen DeGeneres, but he would obviously know the voice is Dory.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you from time to time?
Yeah. People will bring their kids and say, you know, this is Dory, which is really confusing to a kid because, you know, and then I tell them to close their eyes and I start talking like Dory, and which is pretty close to this voice anyway. But, you know, yeah, a lot of kids are huge fans because of Dory.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, the television show is on here at 5 o'clock on CBS 46.
Ellen, why did you decide to go in the talk show format? What was kind of your reasoning behind wanting to try that?
I'd always wanted to do that. I mean, I shouldn't say always, but, I was offered a talk show when I was still doing Ellen, when I was doing that sitcom, and I just didn't think that I was ready to do it. I wanted to wait a while. And it was at the time, like, Rosie was getting one, and I think Queen Latifah had one, and, like, a lot of people had one. I thought, oh, everybody's doing talk shows. I'm just going to wait. And then I, you know, kind of everything went away for a while, and then I got another offer to do The Ellen Show, which was the next sitcom, and that didn't work. And so I just thought, I'm just going to be myself, you know, and a talk show seems like a really great way to do that because I can think on my toes. I love talking to people. I love being spontaneous. I love music. We can have music on. And it just seemed like the exact right thing for me to do. And it wasn't like I had a lot of other offers or options anyway. So, it was just the thing that was in front of me. And I said, well, this is what I'll do now. And it has been the exact right thing that I should have done.
Well, I'm looking at these guests that are scheduled over the next couple of weeks, and it's so obvious that people want to be on your show. Like this week, Ashley Judd and Ruben Studdard, Terry Hatcher. Then you look at, like, over the next couple of weeks, there's Matthew Fox and Matt LeBlanc. You got Gwen Stefani, Renee Zellweger.
Nice.
What do you think it is about your show that is making these celebrities want to stop by and hang with you?
I don't know. I like it. I mean, you know, everybody that comes on, you know, says that, you know, of all the shows they do, they really look forward to this show and they have fun. And I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. It's something that is, I think it's different about the show because everybody can just have a conversation and it's not the typical, you know, question and answer. And it's you know, they know that I'm not going to do anything that's going to make them feel uncomfortable. And because this is work. I mean, as much as you can say, oh, they're just being themselves, that's not comfortable for most celebrities. They're better being characters. They're not as comfortable being themselves. So I want them to reveal something that we don't normally see, and I want them to feel comfortable doing that. So I just try to make it fun for everybody.
Well, it's great. I mean, the show is really great, and we wish you great success with it. Again, it's Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen on at 5 o'clock on CBS 46. Am I missing anything here? Any other projects coming up I haven't touched on?
No, that's all good. It's all fantastic.
Good. Nice talking to you, Ellen DeGeneres.
Hey, y'all too.
The average commute time in Atlanta is now over 30 minutes. Why listen to a morning show that makes it feel like an hour when you can listen to The Burt Show on all the hits, Q100. You're on The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
So around 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, this comes down.
We, the jury in the above-entitled cause, find the defendant, Scott Lee Peterson, guilty of the crime of murder of Lacey Denise Peterson. We, the jury in the above-entitled cause, find the defendant, Scott Lee Peterson, guilty of the crime of murder of baby Connor Peterson.
Do you guys see the crowd outside the courthouse?
No.
Why do people go to those things?
That's so surreal to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Why they would go stand there?
Yeah, hundreds of people out there, you know, like holding their cell phones up. And then when they finally come down with the verdict, it erupts into either applause or booing or whatever. So Scott Peterson found guilty on two different counts.
Yeah, they found him guilty of first-degree murder for Lacey's death, but second-degree murder for their unborn child.
Now, for weeks and weeks and weeks, if not months, we've been talking to this woman named Emily, who is a big Scott Peterson supporter. Big Scott Peterson supporter. In fact, she's been writing him letters of support in jail. She said that if he was found innocent and he ended up in Atlanta, she'd be here with open arms. Thought he was a good-looking guy and thought he was innocent right from the start. So here's just kind of a minute compilation of some conversations that we've had with Emily.
I've actually written Scott, like, you know, once, maybe like once every 2 weeks since the trial started last fall.
Okay, what is it about this trial and what is it about Scott Peterson that makes you think that he'd be a great guy to correspond with?
Oh, I mean, he's such an attractive guy. And when I look at him, I can look in his eyes. I really believe that he's innocent.
What did you see over the last couple of days that makes you believe for sure that he is innocent?
Well, the judge is now going to allow the jury to consider second-degree murder as opposed to first-degree murder.
Mm-hmm.
So that proves right there that if he really believed that the prosecutor did their case correctly and that they proved beyond a reasonable doubt that Scott was guilty, then that wouldn't even be on the table. That wouldn't even be an option.
Nicole is on the phone.
He didn't even think about his wife or his own child's life.
Because you know what he was thinking, right?
No,
you're all knowing. You know exactly what he was thinking
child.
And what he wasn't thinking.
That was
thinking.
An innocent child. And if anybody deserves an apology, it is his. It is her parent that lost a child as well as a grandchild.
Well, I totally disagree with you. So,
you
know.
You disagree how you want.
Well, I do.
Get your ass in a straight jacket and put your ass in the sand.
You can disagree how you want.
But you're wrong.
I love it. I love Nicole. And, oh, this Emily girl, I think, frustrated all of us and Burt Show listeners so much because she's just so hard-headed. Every time we talked to her, she wouldn't listen to anything. She had her mind made up from day one. She had her opinion set, and she was just going to spin everything that happened, everything that came out in the courtroom, she was going to spin all of it to support her theory.
But just like we heard from the clip, you know, she thought that the fact they were introducing second-degree murder showed that the prosecution didn't know what they were talking about and they weren't confident in their case. And then what we didn't think about was the fact that the second degree murder was introduced because of the premeditation and non-premeditation. Mm. And it felt like he aggravated against Lacey and that the unborn son was the second degree murder because it was not premeditated for him.
So getting back to what Jen was saying is we were just going around in circles with this woman for weeks because every conversation was the same. Every time we brought something up, she was adamantly against it and wasn't listening. So we're like, you know what? We're done with this.
I think it's
done.
I can't stand hard-headed people like that.
So we agreed to just say, look, after the verdict comes out, innocent or guilty, we'll talk to each other one last time. Okay, if he's innocent, then you can come on here and rip on us. We'll apologize, whatever. If he's found guilty, then we're going to have a fun time with you. All right? And we agreed to that. So producer Tracy talked to Emily on Friday after the verdict. And while she was reluctant, she's like, yeah, I'll come on between 7 and 7:30. So 7:15 rolls around this morning, and producer Tracy's been trying to get Emily on the phone for 45 minutes. And 7:30 rolls around, and Emily's not answering her phone. So we go on the air, and we say, look, sorry, but Emily's just not coming on. All these listeners start calling up, ripping on her, of course, saying, of course she wasn't going to come on. She's a coward. She's a coward. So I guess Emily was listening to that, and because her good name was being tarnished, she decided to call in about 8 o'clock.
Good name.
Good morning, Emily.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you today?
I'm fine.
We thought for sure you weren't going to join us.
No, I absolutely planned on joining you. And as a matter of fact, it's just that I was in my car. My cell phone was dead. I had to wait to get to work to call you. So, okay. No, I'm not avoiding speaking to you at all.
Okay, you want to go ahead and address the verdict now because he's guilty. I mean, he's been found guilty on 2 counts.
I think it's sad because while everyone is celebrating, the real killer's still walking around free.
Are you kidding me?
No, I think it's sad. It really is.
So you still believe that this man is innocent? Now a jury of his peers has said he is guilty on 2 counts.
Oh, juries have never been wrong in this country, huh? Not to mention, these are people, I mean, from California. I mean, they live in a blue state. You know what I mean?
No, actually, I don't. I mean, I know what you're inferring to, but no, I don't.
Whatever. So, I just totally don't agree. I still think the real killer is walking around, and it's really a sad day. I'm more sad than anything else.
What, again, would have had to happen over the course of the last couple of months for you to say, okay, the man is guilty? Was anything going to be able to be said?
For them to bring in the person that really killed the family, who really killed Lacey and her child, then that would make me happy. That's the only thing that would make me happy. But not framing Scott Peterson.
Who framed him?
He didn't do it.
Who framed him?
I really don't believe that he did it. And a matter of fact, I mean, they kept having to dismiss jurors, and I just think they kept dismissing the jurors who believed he was innocent until they continued to get one in there who agreed with the rest of everyone else.
Melissa predicted that you were going to say it was some kind of conspiracy.
Well, and I felt I think I made the comment last week, though, Emily, is that, if someone like you was on that jury, you would have to be dismissed because you were so set in your opinion that you would not have looked at the evidence to determine what the evidence said, and
so
I think that's why.
So you're saying that those two jurors that were dismissed then weren't looking at the evidence, and since they didn't believe like everybody else, and their opinions
weren't valid. One woman was dismissed for having her own sources, like she was not looking just, because you said yourself, Emily, in this, that people just need to look at the evidence. That was your argument, and people were dismissed because they weren't.
No, maybe she was looking at sources that the cops didn't bother to look at, and maybe that's
but
why
she's her not her
it's not her job. It's not her job.
That's not legal. You can't do that when you're a juror.
Well, it's her job to decide whether or not an innocent man goes to jail or not.
And Based on the evidence that is presented in court.
But there's no reason to argue with Emily about that, because that was Emily's argument in the beginning, was just to look at the evidence and not to go in with your personal feelings of Scott. And now, because the verdict didn't go the way she agrees with, now she's arguing that you can't just look at the evidence.
No, I'm just saying that all the evidence really wasn't looked at. There was evidence in this trial that the judge wouldn't even let the jurors consider.
What do you think about his lawyer not even being there when the verdict went down?
I'm sure there was a strategic move behind that. I mean, I haven't spoken to him, so I can't speak from why he wasn't there.
Garagos was in Southern California working on another case.
Let me read from CourtTV.com that addresses exactly what Jeff is saying here. The high-profile Los Angeles lawyer, who has been the public face of Peterson's defense since shortly after his arrest, opted to remain in Southern California and tend to other cases rather than be on hand for deliberations.
But we don't know why. None of us know why.
What could be more important than that?
He couldn't get there in time.
He had on why he wasn't at the trial. We don't know.
If they didn't do it by 4 o'clock on Friday, they would have to wait until Monday. So from what I understand, Garrigo said there's no way. They announced it at 2:30 that they would make the announcement at 4. And if they didn't do it then, they were going to wait until Monday.
You know, his dad, Scott Peterson's dad, wasn't there either.
Right.
He didn't show up for it either. All right, Emily, I want to put you on with Nicole.
Oh, boy.
Fine.
Nicole?
What's going on?
Go ahead. You're on with Emily.
Emily, I mean, I just don't understand why you are still standing behind this. I don't understand. I mean, the verdict is not enough for you?
I don't think, because I really don't believe that he's guilty. That's why I'm standing behind my statement.
Okay, so the first thing that you had initially said, that he was just so attractive. You didn't think he was guilty because he was so attractive. Then you said that you thought that, you know, it was the evidence. They didn't have enough evidence. They didn't have enough evidence. Now you're saying that they didn't look at all the evidence?
No, they didn't. I don't think that they looked at all the evidence to consider another possibility other than Scott. I think it was always focused on him.
What other evidence?
I'm not a cop. I wasn't there. That's not my job. But there was evidence, as far as I'm concerned, that was not looked at.
Okay, so it's other evidence. You just don't know what that other evidence is.
Hey, look, if the cops would have explored every avenue, then possibly we wouldn't be having this conversation. But since they didn't do that, then hey.
Are you going to continue to write him now?
Yes, I am.
You're going to go ahead and
continue to write him? I think he should file an appeal.
Okay, so who's going to be his lawyer now?
I don't know. I would think that Mark Garagos is not the only attorney walking around in the USA. I believe he can find another attorney.
He cannot defend him. Whatever.
Whatever. There are other attorneys that, as far as I'm concerned, can defend him.
There is no reason that you should be this supportive of a man that killed his wife.
Why are you hollering and screaming? Somebody needs to holler at you. Somebody needs to talk some damn sense into you. Something's wrong with you.
Calm down. Whatever. You were the one who ain't worried about no damn body but your honey ass hormone that came by a regular man. That's what you worried about. You worried about
the wrong thing. Stop screaming, I'll comment. Are you done screaming?
You know what?
You said on air, Nicole, honey, then there's no reason for us to have this conversation. Is this a conversation or is this a shouting match? Nicole, let's look at who's mentally unstable here. The person who's screaming like a mad woman.
I feel like that bald guy on Springer.
Okay, Nicole, I gotta put Nicole on hold. I love her to death. Pick her up and see if she's still going. I have something I want to say. Nicole just said on the air, oh, you know, I'm so happy. I'm happy with the verdict. I was happy for the child. I'm not happy for the child. The child is dead. So that, if you can rewind what was just said while I was listening to the radio, she's saying she's happy for the child. Why would anybody be happy for a poor child that's dead?
Well, she's happy because
somebody's unstable here. One person's screaming, one person's not.
Well, no.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm the one who's stable.
No, Emily, what she said was that there was justice for that child. She's happy.
No, she didn't say justice for the child. Rewind. Well, she said, I was happy for the child.
She said that she felt
I'm just telling
Emily, she's deflecting what's going on. She felt that Lacey's family and that unborn child was vindicated
by her. But that's not what she said. Emily, come on.
What is your next letter to Scott Peterson going to say?
That he should file an appeal.
Well, I don't think you need to write him to tell him that.
Yeah, I think somebody's probably on top of that already.
You know, just to be supportive and tell him, you know, hang in there.
And
unfortunately, the real killer is walking around while you're suffering.
You should also advise him to move around prison with his back to the wall. You
know, yeah, the real killer's walking around in the past 2 years. There's not been another death in that area, but they're still walking around the streets.
Well, all I'm trying to say to you is that I don't believe that Scott Peterson is guilty. I believe it was the wrong decision. And as far as I'm concerned, there's really no reason for us to continue this conversation.
So everybody in California, be aware of that satanic cult.
That's wrong. Everyone is wrong. I'm done with the conversation. Thank you. Goodbye.
And that'll be that.
Good. Anybody surprised by that?
Call back during an appeal or something like that?
I was tired of hearing from her. She is just bullheaded.
Nobody's surprised by that, right? We knew that was going to be her attitude today.
Will you
pick up Nicole and see if she's still going? I bet she still is when you pick up.
Hey, Nicole.
No, she didn't sit up there and say that I was talking about being happy for the child. Y'all lucky that helper hung up because I would have said some real nice words that you would have had to bleep out. You know what I meant.
Yeah, she did.
And the helper trying to, you know, just come back with something, but she has nothing to come back with. I have calmed down now. I'm so sorry for going on and on. I'm the Burt Show. To my friends on the Burt Show, I do apologize.
Now, Nicole, she gets me riled up every time.
She know how to work Nicole nerves, child.
I think you represented a great many of the Burt Show listeners who wanted to do the same thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you know, we got your back.
Oh, you know what? I think we should have a boxing match. And he said round one. Said Burt said round one. Hey, I call it like this. And Frosty the Showman, me and Emily in the ring.
My money's on you. All right, Nicole, we got to move on. Good talking to you.
Oh, y'all have a good day.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.